My name is Judy Savino. I am the Diversity and Cultural Awareness Liaison at Lehigh Valley Health Network. And I'm pleased to be with you today. I'm going to be talking about an intercultural sensitivity survey that we did at our network. So cross-cultural health care has been has received significant attention for lots of years, primarily since 2002, when Unequal Treatment, the Institute of Medicine report came out about healthcare disparities. And so now there's many organizations, the Joint Commission, the federal government, and lots of others across the nation who provide advice to hospitals and healthcare organizations about the delivery of cross-cultural care. But one of the things that I think is often missing in their recommendations is assessing your employees, really having a sense of where your employees are on an intercultural sensitivity perspective, and then using that information to inform your organizational strategies. And so that's what we did in this work. So I want to acknowledge my co-authors. Jared Patton is a pediatrician and the medical director for my cultural awareness work at Lehigh Valley. Jay Baglia and Tony Norino, our other co-authors, worked on this study when they were at Lehigh Valley, and they've since moved on, one to DePaul and the other to the Corporation for National and Community Service in D.C. And I don't have any financial relationships to disclose. Our health network is located in north and mid-eastern Pennsylvania, so we have five campuses, hospital campuses, and more than 100 physician practices, health centers, and outpatient clinics. And you can see some of the data that's there. So we're a large health organization. When we did the study, all of our services were primarily located in the Lehigh Valley, which is about 50 miles north of Philadelphia and 80 miles west of New York City, just so that you can sort of get a geographic basis of where we are. It's historically been a pretty diverse area because we have had a lot of industry in the area, and so European immigrants, we've been sort of a home for European immigrants for a very long time. But we're seeing the composition of our community change of late. Allentown itself now is about 40% Latino, so it's a majority minority city. And we're seeing a lot of growth in our Arabic, Vietnamese, and now Syrian populations. So why is it important for hospitals to have cultural awareness or to deliver cross-cultural care? And all of you probably know all of these reasons, so I'm going to kind of zip through them. So really, this is the essence of patient-centered care. This is what hospitals are supposed to be doing, tailoring care to meet your patient's cultural needs. This is absolutely essential for effective communication, not only making sure that our services are language appropriate, but really even within the language that you use, making sure it's culturally appropriate. When the Institute of Medicine, the report that preceded on unequal treatment was Crossing the Quality Chasm, that was the report about medical errors, and they really talked about six dimensions of quality, and one of those dimensions was equity. And they defined equity as not a difference in the outcome of care between different groups of people. They mostly focused in unequal treatment on racial and ethnic groups, but you could look at age, you could look at gender, you could look at geography, for example. When there is a difference in the outcome of care, we call that a disparity. So cross-cultural care can help us to address disparities. And then, as I mentioned in the beginning, there's lots of regulatory and accreditation mandates for hospitals to deliver this type of care. And it truly, if we want to be accountable for the care that we provide, we have to pay attention to culture, and we will not be able to improve population health without it. So what did we do? We actually did a survey, both quantitative and qualitative, of our employees, and then we used the results of the survey to tailor a plan for cross-cultural care. So what was the survey that we used and how did we go about doing it? So it was something that was called the Intercultural Sensitivity Survey, and it was developed by two professors, Chen and Starosta, at the University of Rhode Island. It contained 24 items, and then they subdivided those into five subscales. So to be perfectly transparent, we used this survey because it was short and because it was free. Then we added to it, we had five questions that we added to it. Two were related to what are the things you think the hospital could do to improve intercultural sensitivity between employees, and then the same question but related to patients. We asked folks to give us their preferred learning preferences, so how do you like to learn, and then what were some topics that you wanted to learn about, and then we asked a little bit about demographics. We administered the survey electronically. to all of the employees in the health network at that time, so it was more than 9,700 people, and they could complete it online. So they got the invitation via email, completed it online. At the end of the three-week period, we had about a 38% response rate, but then after data cleaning, we had about a 35% response rate. That was the data set for analysis. So what were our results? So our responding characteristics, about a quarter of them were from our nurses, and that was the largest group, and then technical support or technical partners, medical assistants, those kinds of folks, and then office support. And then it went all the way down the list there. And what was interesting was although our survey went out to everybody, we didn't do a randomized sample, the folks who responded to the survey were fairly representative of our employee population as a whole. So how did the domain results look? So these were the domains that Chen and Starosta came up with when they had piloted this instrument. So they had five different domains, and you can see them there. And I'm going to go through these in just a little bit, but I'm not going to do it at the moment. So the highest ones for our healthcare providers were respect for cultural difference and interaction enjoyment. And that's really like sort of the enthusiasm or the pleasure that you would get in intercultural exchanges. And then the lowest scoring domain was actually interaction confidence. And this was the poise or the self-efficacy. Did you feel like you were qualified or able? Did you have the skills that you need? And so that was our lowest score. Now, these scores it was based on a scale from sort of 10 to 50. So in general, these are generally high, but we didn't have a whole lot to compare it to. So we're not making a lot of conclusions based on that. We just looked at which was, relatively, which was the highest and which was the lowest score. As far as content preferences, our staff wanted more information about these topics. And then, of course, we could incorporate these topics into educational interventions. But then when we did the analysis, the statistical analysis on the data, we didn't come up with the same five domains that Chen and Starosta did. Ours went into more of just three domains, and this is probably due to the nature of the people who took the survey. Chen and Starosta tested it on college students, and of course we tested it on hospital employees. But I'm going to talk about those three domains in more detail. So let's start with interaction confidence. So this, as I mentioned, is your confidence, your self-efficacy, your willingness to exchange, your willingness to engage in intercultural exchanges, to really listen to other people and have respectful self-expression. And this would be sort of the attitudinal component of intercultural sensitivity. And we took this information about, how do you build people's confidence, and incorporated that into educational interventions. So in the ensuing years, we've done a plethora of educational interventions. Some have been mandatory, but most are voluntary. We've done them online. We've done them live, a whole variety of ways based on the ways that people told us they wanted to learn. And their most the way they wanted to learn, the most popular was actually in live workshops. The thing that I've tried to do with intercultural sensitivity is not to make it an extra, to really incorporate it into the work that people do every day. And so we've incorporated education into existing educational programming in the hospital. So they don't come to something that's just on cultural awareness. They may hear about cultural awareness when they're in nursing orientation or management education of some kind. And then just this past year, we've really started to focus more on unconscious or implicit bias and the way that those biases influence our decisions and our behaviors. Intercultural esteem. This is sort of a blended domain with the Chen and Starosta domains of interaction engagement, that's the enthusiasm you have for intercultural exchanges, and respect for cultural difference. So this domain, again, is sort of that respect, the level of regard for someone else's cultural background and preferences, and this would be sort of the affective component. And here we really try to provide information that staff members could use to incorporate their patient's cultural background into treatment into diagnosis and treatment. So as most hospitals, we've started to collect race and ethnicity data, and that information is available to clinicians on the medical record. We really ramped up our language interpretation services, and not only that the services are available, but education on how to use interpreters. We incorporated questions in which nurses can ask patients about their cultural background in the nursing assessment, so it's something that they absolutely have to do with every single patient. But then we also ask the same questions of patients on their satisfaction surveys. So even though we ask you the question, that doesn't necessarily mean we're meeting your cultural need. The question on the patient satisfaction survey gives us a sense of how well are we doing this. And then there have been some specific groups that we've done tailored cultural programming. So veterans are one of those groups. We have a veteran health program that explores military culture. And then the Plain community. So we, our hospital is near the Amish and Mennonite communities in Pennsylvania. Very unique cultural group, so we've had some culture-specific education about that group as well. And then the last domain was communication preference presence. And this was a blend of intercultural interaction enjoyment, that pleasure you have in talking with someone who might be different than you are, and interaction attentiveness, which is being mindful of verbal and nonverbal communication preferences. And here, this was really, we thought of this as really the behavioral component. So how do we incorporate within the organizational culture a sense of what behaviors we expected employees to do? So we focused a lot on leadership and made sure our leaders role modeled intercultural sensitivity. We incorporated behavioral expectations. So when you come, we tell you as an employee, these are the ways we expect you to behave. And then we evaluate everyone on an annual basis in their performance review on those behavioral expectations. And then, of course, even within education, we made it very skill-based. So how do I? What are specific questions you can use to find out about your patient's cultural background? And then we have folks do role-playing and things like that so that they get comfortable with those questions. The last part of the survey was really these qualitative questions about what do you think the organization should do to improve intercultural sensitivity among employees and among patients. And when we read through, I think it was like 10,000 comments, four themes emerged. They were related to education, language, community engagement, and actually then organization and administration. But the comments within those four themes varied widely. So let me just give you an example of that. So within the language theme, there were comments about, I really want to learn Spanish so that I can speak directly to my Spanish-speaking patients. But then there were some comments like, I think people need to, we only accept patients who speak English in this hospital. So the locus of control, whether, you know, an internal or external locus of control. So I have to tell you, the committee that was working on this project were just devastated with some of the comments, because they were very passionate about cross-cultural care and they just believed everybody else would be as well. The survey helped us to understand that not everybody in the organization shared our passion, which was really, really important, because we had to understand that as from an audience perspective when we developed education and other organizational strategies. So a good way of thinking about this is Milton Bennett's intercultural sensitivity model, and he talks about people being on a continuum from denial to integration. This is really great literature if folks are doing this work in your organization to take a look at this and how to help people move along that scale. So in summary, what would I like you to take away from this today? Cross-cultural care is absolutely important for the delivery of high-quality care. Hospitals need to change their organizations in order to deliver this type of care, and I would advocate doing a survey of this type or any other type that you have so you really understand where your audience, where your employees are coming from, and then taking that information to frame your education primarily, but any other organizational strategies that you use.